I'm Andy Bates. Joining me in studio today, Dwight Shetler, President of Ambassadors of Reconciliation. Dwight, welcome.
Well, it's a joy to be here. Thank you, Andy.
Glad to have you here in studio and learn a little bit more about Ambassadors of Reconciliation, what's been going on this year, and a little bit about you as well.
Mm-hmm.
Before we talk about the organization, tell me a little bit about yourself and how you came to Ambassadors of Reconciliation.
Well, a simple answer to that question is I'm a recovering engineer. I was introduced to Ambassadors of Reconciliation when I was a lay leader in my church, and we were struggling with some significant conflict, and we weren't sure what to do, and we ended up calling Ambassadors of Reconciliation. And I know this is a short interview, so I won't give you all the details, but the short version of that is it really did change my life. I grew up as a Lutheran, baptized as an infant, confirmed in the eighth grade, but it wasn't until we were in the middle of a conflict at my church where I was a lay leader that someone proclaimed the gospel to me in a very personal and impactful way. And that set me on a course to decide to change careers and do reconciliation full time.
How did your experience as an engineer, now a recovering engineer, how did your experience as an engineer help prepare you for the work that you're in now with Ambassadors?
Well, that's a great question. So, you know, in the engineering world, we're all about understanding the facts and figures and trying to figure out and solve problems. And maybe it prepared me because in reconciliation, it's not about us solving the problems and figuring things out. It's really God working through us. So I don't know that the engineering background per se prepared me, but that's where I was when God led me to believe that this was, you know, something different was going to be going on in my life. In fact, it was my wife who first identified it and thought, you know, she mentioned one night, Dwight, I think this is, God's going to take us someplace else. And at first, I discounted that entirely. I was happy where I was. But as is often the case, she was right. And it wasn't long before we had all of our stuff in the back of a U-Haul truck heading from our home to take a new career in Montana.
What is the work of Ambassadors of Reconciliation today?
Well, good question. So a simple answer. I get that question all the time on airplanes and such. And my response is simple. We assist Christians in resolving conflict and reconciling relationships according to the Bible. Now, the longer answer is we help Lutherans live, proclaim, and cultivate lifestyles of reconciliation. But when we meet somebody on the street, we're not sure where they're at. So I give them that simple response. We help people resolve conflict and reconcile relationships according to the Bible.
So how does that take on a practical form? What does that look like?
Well, first and foremost, many people, when we get caught in conflict, we are focused on the very narrow part of our life. We're focused on the other guy because they have wronged us. We're focused on ourselves because we're not getting what we want. In very practical terms, a key part of our reconciliation work is helping people see the bigger picture. Let's look at this through the lens of Scripture. Let's look at this and remember whose we are through our baptism. And what difference does that make in our everyday life? And as we guide people through this, and even personally, as we do this work, we're reminded daily of the redeeming work of Christ through our baptism. And that impacts each of us very deeply. And once people begin to see the bigger picture, that opens the door to answer the question, how shall I respond to this? What does the gospel message mean to me, and how does that change how I might be able to respond in this situation? Remembering that I am forgiven, remembering the other person is also forgiven through the work of Christ. So in very practical terms, it's about helping someone see this bigger picture, the redeeming work of Christ, and how that impacts our everyday life.
It changes our perspective when we see, it changes how we approach things. How we approach relationships, how we approach our vocations, our responsibilities, and others, when we have this different perspective of this is a person for whom Christ died too. Mm. When we're very angry and frustrated with them, that changes everything, doesn't it?
It does change everything. And something that we'll challenge people to do is once they become aware that, you know, Christ did die for this other person too, is we invite them to pray for that person. And I'm not talking about a prayer with, you know, this special condemnation that God could bring down on this individual.
Not the imprecatory psalms.
Exactly. This is you know, praying for their well-being, praying for God to bless them as well, praying for God to work his redeeming work in our relationship with that person. And it's very difficult to not have that change how you view them.
Mm-hmm. What was it in your circumstances going through this reconciliation process that made you realize this isn't about me?
Yeah. My answer is simple. As we were going through this with my church, I was a lay leader in the church. And as the coaches, the reconcilers, as they worked with me and others at the church, they helped us see the bigger picture. The way I had contributed to the conflict, I was completely blind to that. In fact, I had a litany of reasons why it wasn't any of my fault. It was everyone else. If they would just fall in line, do what they're supposed to do, that would be the solution. Well, the reconcilers helped me to understand. They took me to scripture and they prayed with me. And through that process, helped me to understand how I did contribute to this conflict. And when I saw it, I fell apart. How could I impact these people who I love, by the way? This is my family church. I've been there for a couple of decades. How could I contribute to a conflict in this most terrible way? And the reconciler, when I came to recognize that, do you know what he said to me? He says, Dwight, I have very good news for you. Your Jesus knows everything about you. He knows the way he has blessed you to serve in his church here. But he also knows that you would struggle with this very sin. And Dwight, it's my privilege to share with you that Jesus came into this world and took that all the way to the cross at Calvary. You are forgiven. That was the moment. I grew up, like I said, in a Lutheran home. I had never had someone pronounce the gospel message to me in such a personal and practical way in all my years. And that was the turning point. And I got excited about doing reconciliation work, and we started a reconciliation ministry at my church, and I started getting mm-hmm. to practice. And then one thing led to another, and God opened a door for me to leave my career in engineering, opened the door at Peacemaker Ministries, where I went first prior to Ambassadors. And that's how I landed here today.
Well, I'm very glad that we get to have this time today to mm-hmm. to share that's your story, and also the story of Ambassadors of Reconciliation. This is, as I understand, this past year we just had a conference not too long mm-hmm. ago. Tell me a little bit about what happened at the conference.
Well, it was an exciting event for us. It was our second national conference for ambassadors. We had one in St. Louis about 18 months ago, and then we had the most recent one in Charlotte, North Carolina. And the title of the conference was Go and Be Reconciled. What does this mean? That happens to be the title of a new Bible study that I'd be happy to share more about. But the conference itself was a two-day event, started Thursday evening, went through noon on Saturday. We had several plenary speakers, and we had a whole series of workshops for people to come and learn about reconciliation. So we had people learning it for the first time. We had many people who were trained reconcilers come to hone their skill in that area. And we had people coming just because they had issues at home that they weren't sure how to respond, or church or work or whatever. And it was a great time of learning and teaching under some excellent instructors. But it was also a time of fellowship, coming together under the cross, recognizing that as fallen sinners, we all need this help. We all need that grace to overcome the challenges that we have. So it was we had about 100 people there. That was about 30% growth over the previous year. So we are very excited about that, and we're looking forward to our next one.
Have you received response from those who attended?
Yes, they've been very, very complimentary. I mean, they have shared with us that the training in particular is life-changing. When we come together and, you know, as Lutherans, we have the privilege of corporate confession and absolution every week in our services. But just like I experienced this confession and absolution on a personal level, people come back to us and say, we need to be doing more of this. Why don't we do more of this as individuals? Why don't we share this good news with one another? So that the feedback from the training is that's what they walked away with, was a renewed passion for sharing the good news. You know, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, in one of his books, Life Together, says that the purpose of Christian community is to be bringers of the message of salvation. And sharing that good news, proclaiming God's forgiveness to one another, is a privilege. And so they were. People are excited at the possibility and the opportunity to do that, and then the opportunity to share that after the event as well.
Tell me a little bit about the book. You said that you have a new book from Ambassadors of Reconciliation under the same name as the conference from this year.
That's right. So at the conference, we did debut a new Bible study, and it's called Go and Be Reconciled. What does this mean? We've had another Bible study for the last 10 or 12 years, which is still available, but we wanted to produce something that presents reconciliation from an entirely Lutheran perspective. So that's what this book does. And it's set up in two sections. The first section is entitled Be Reconciled to God, and the second section is Be Reconciled to Others. And each of those have three lessons, and with a total of six lessons. Each of those lessons then reviews one of the six chief parts of Christian doctrine as presented in Luther's Small Catechism. So it's a good review, basic catechesis. At the same time, it applies what we learn in Luther's Small Catechism to everyday life. And the feedback we're getting from this is really phenomenal from a Bible study perspective. People are saying they've not encountered so much discussion in Bible class before because people are seeing the everyday application. So the first lesson is entitled, Remember Whose You Are. And sometimes people say, well, maybe, is that a typo? Remember whose you are? They think it should be remember who you are. But no, remember whose you are. Mm-hmm. We are Christ through his blood, through the washing of holy baptism. So in that lesson, we review baptism as presented in Luther's Small Catechism. And the Bible study is set up in a catechism style. So it asks questions and gives Bible references that students and participants can look up to find answers to those various questions. So we're very excited about that book, and because it does serve two different purposes. One is for a Bible study. You can use it as, you know, a small group or Sunday morning Bible study. But as reconcilers, we also use it for preparing people to come to a reconciliation session, because it lays the groundwork for understanding what is this bigger picture. That's where we started in our interview this morning, is what is this bigger picture? What does that mean to our everyday life? And in this specific case, well, the Bible study helps someone do that. So in just, you know, self-study in a couple or 3 hours, they can get that, the basics. And then a reconciler can come alongside them and walk through, well, what would be some next steps here?
What might be some signs that a congregation, we'll get to families here in just a little bit as well. What might be a sign that a congregation may need to ask for some help?
Right. Well, that's a complicated question, right? Because we get lots of answers. The most common response we get is, boy, we sure hope we don't need to ever call you guys, right? Because ambassadors can be viewed as kind of the fire department. This is the last ditch effort. Mm-hmm. I really want to encourage folks to think about what steps can we take today to avoid needing to call somebody to reconcile deep relationship hurts. Because frankly, about 80% of what we do at Ambassadors is more preemptive than it is reactive, because we produce these resources like this new Bible study I just described. So we encourage congregations to, on a regular basis, teach a course on reconciliation, because that applies faith to every day. And it's just a very applicable thing. But some signs where they might need some additional help are, if they're struggling with hurts in leadership, so board meetings start to take hours and hours and hours, or people are leaving those meetings more hurt than feeling that there was anything productive done. You might have declining attendance, right? Because people are seeing these unreconciled relationships, and they're saying this isn't where we want to worship every week. That, you know, they'll seek someplace else. And then there's very, very overt and obvious signs where there's open anger and resentment among members. And it's always beneficial to address those sooner rather than later. And we can give very practical steps on what that can look like.
What about in the family?
Mm-hmm.
How could families take steps, one, to as you said, look at this ahead of the game and be preventative?
Yeah.
Preemptive,
right. Well, one of the biggest impacts, so I talked about my story where, you know, it causes to change careers. And I say, yes, my wife and I decided that I would leave my career and come do this. But the greater impact, frankly, was in our family. This gives us a new vocabulary that we can use with one another. Prior to this, we didn't say, will you forgive me? We didn't say, I forgive you. We used the word language of the world. We would say, I'm sorry. And we would say, don't worry about it. No, it's cool. We're cool, right? There's no admission of real sin against one another. And there's no absolution, no grace really being extended. We're just saying, you know, let's not worry about it. Let's ignore it. So the biggest impact is on our family. When there are wrongs and there are hurts, we learned to say, I have wronged you. I have sinned against you and I've sinned against God. Will you forgive me? And the response can be not just I forgive you, but it's I have very good news for you. Your Jesus knows everything about you. As far as the east is from the west, the Lord has separated you from your sin. Announcing God's forgiveness is the new step that we really learned that makes all the difference.
We try to practice that in our household on a regular basis. When someone, we have a toddler, and mm-hmm. so when someone hurts someone or fails to follow directions, those words, I'm sorry and I forgive you, are practiced regularly mm-hmm. in our household. And just discovered, it's been probably 2 years since we discovered this great resource, a couple of years, from Concordia Publishing House, My First Hymnal has, mm-hmm. have you seen this
mm-hmm.
in the front of it?
Yeah.
The order for confession mm-hmm. and forgiveness
yeah.
for families?
Right
in the front of it. What a great resource for families to practice this regularly at home.
It really is. And it's a right that we ought to be practicing, but unfortunately, many of us just don't. And so that was my experience. We hadn't. But now, by God's grace, it is something that we can do on a regular basis.
Yeah, I want this next generation to know those words, I forgive you, you are forgiven, to hear those and to practice those words rather than just, it's cool or it's all right.
That's right. And it's that power of the gospel that can bring about significant change. Mm-hmm. We had a case just recently where a couple approached us at the office, called me and asked, they said, we need some help. We would like to have ambassadors help us. And I said, well, how may we help you? We would like someone to mediate our separation. This was a couple. And I wasn't even sure if that was a case we would like to take. But I sought counsel and several people advised, well, if you don't help them, who will? And whoever that is, will there be any gospel shared with these people? So we decided to take that case and help them through it, praying that God would work some kind of miracle. Well, I'll fill in some of the details, but the end of the story is they came looking for a mediated separation. They left with a plan to rebuild their relationship. The difference was they learned the words, will you forgive me? And I have very good news for you. Your God forgives you as well. Because I'm forgiven, I can forgive you. The husband in this case was, through very deep sobbing as he was reflecting on what was transpiring, he says, we have been in counseling for months and months, and we have never had a conversation like this. They'd been to Christian counselors. So this notion of confessing one to another, forgiving and proclaiming God's forgiveness, is what changes lives. And that's mm-hmm. what we get excited about at Ambassadors, being part of that. It's just a privilege to see.
That's very interesting and very telling that, you know, they'd been through counseling for a certain, you know, what, several months. You'd said,
mm-hmm.
and they still sought you out.
Mm-hmm.
It's clear that they had some hope. They wanted to save
right.
this marriage in some way.
Mm-hmm.
They wanted, even if they were going to separate, they wanted it to be in some sort of it sounds like, because they were seeking you out, they wanted it to be in some sort of respectful way, some sort of, I don't know if God-honoring way is a way to say that, but it seems like there was some hope there that we could do this in a way that's still faithful.
That's right. And now their motives weren't as sanctified as you were just describing. They were really trying to avoid pain. They knew if they were to proceed through the court system, it was just going to be a nightmare for them. And they were trying to do anything they could to avoid that. But God be praised. They made the connection with us they were able to hear that gospel message and God worked in their hearts in pretty significant ways.
Thanks be to God for that. I'm glad that they were able to find that help there, that good news help. Dwight, what can you shared with us this new resource? Any other resources you'd like to point us at, congregations or families to, or where we can find more resources from from Ambassadors of Reconciliation?
Right. So our website is www.hisaor.org, HISAOR.org. And we have a bookstore, and I would encourage everyone to come peruse that. So the new Bible study is there. Something that's coming soon are a couple of new resources. One is a set of what we call coaching bookmarks, but these are bookmarks that are topical on various issues that we find in conflicts all the time. Mm-hmm. Angers and fear, the things we crave, those are topical bookmarks. But along with them, and this is the new thing that's not quite on our website, but will be coming soon, are topical Bible studies. These are simple, one-hour type of Bible study. You can print them. They're 3 pages long. So if you're looking for quick Bible studies that on these various topics, you'll be able to come to our bookstore, download the Bible study, and you can purchase the bookmarks to go along and give those to each of your participants. But that's an exciting new thing as well, because people come and ask, we just have a couple of Sundays, we're not sure what we're going to present on. Do you have anything on reconciliation? So all of these are reconciliation focused and on these specific topics. One of the common ones, one of the popular ones, is on careless talk. We don't call it gossip. We call it careless talk, because we can be so loose with how we share information to people and about people. What does Scripture have to say about that? So there's a simple Bible study on that. So that would be something new as well that you can come to our bookstore to learn more about.
Well, very good. HisAOR.org?
That's correct.
Very good. Well, Dwight, it's been a pleasure talking with you. Dwight Shetler, President of Ambassadors of Reconciliation. Thanks for being my guest today.
It was my pleasure. Thanks, Andy.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.